I always thought when I came to the revival, and I remember taking that box that piano out of the box. I was here when we did that, and I thought, wow, what a blessing it is to a brand new church to have a piano player and a song leader. I was just at a church in Hobbs, New Mexico last spring. Been there for years, running about 200, and the piano player, one piano player, got sick, and they had no piano player. And I thought, how can a church of 200 people not have another piano player in it? And yet I always was just thrilled and blessed during the revivals, and that this church had you, and God worked all that out. And thank you for all that you've done here. And I know it's been a real struggle, and nobody knows like the Lord Jesus just the struggle that you're going through, but I know that we've all been praying for you, and that this church family has been praying for you. I remember during that first revival, maybe this is just a anniversary revival here, a morning for us just to think and on the goodness of God and praise Him, but I remember thinking, and I believe I told you all that it wouldn't take long for this thing to be filled up. I know you had to pour thousands of dollars to build this wall over here or something. Just what a mess that was to get in here. And what after all that, we just had a few people in this section over here. And I thought, this church is just too nice and these people are just too nice and friendly for it to take long for this church to be filled. And this morning, it's amazing to see it full. And this morning, and it's, Pastor, it's about time to start thinking about the next building or something along those lines. If it keeps going along this way, it's, about another year or so. And I think, what's the next 4 or 5 years hold for this church? It's exciting to see. I'm excited. Thank you so much, church, for letting me be a part of it. And my father and my mother and my brother and my sister-in-law and little Brooklyn and Christian, you surely you've had enough of Knuffs, haven't you? I'm going to try some of this. Brother Josh said I should try some of this. Okay. Now I'll lose my voice or something, but but thank you. You have been such a blessing to me and to my family, and I know you've watched me grow as an evangelist, being one of the very first churches, really. I didn't admit this at the time, but the revival, I hadn't preached very many revivals before I got here, maybe a handful or so. Still haven't preached very many, but I'm excited about this morning. And God put this on my heart. I'm not going to get after you yet, so enjoy it this morning. No, I don't know if I'm going to get after you at all, just how the Lord leads. Ephesians chapter number 1 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 1. In light of everything that's taking place, and I know God just brought this all together, and in light of the ordination tonight and just the celebration of a young man tonight being called into the ministry and the celebration of seeing that and then being part of that ordination and another step forward in the life of this church. And, we love Pastor Asbury and all of that, but he knows he's not going to be here forever. And he has really taken his son-in-law under his wing and taught him all he knows about the ministry. And then for them to go down and see, the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and the effect that has had on the future and the dream and the vision that it's put in Josh's heart. I'm just thrilled to see the future of this church. And that's kind of what today's about. And just thanking God for the past. I want to preach this message out of Ephesians this morning. And look at what it says in verse 1 there. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So it's for us, amen, this morning. The faithful in Christ Jesus, not only to this church at Ephesus, but the faithful in Christ Jesus. Number 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. God, and might You be magnified. Lord, the testimony time, the encouragement of me coming back, being able to come back, my parents being here, and all the wonderful things that have taken place. Lord, the Sunday school room that has opened up, the nursery, the expansion of the auditorium and the need to expand it to fill that because it was being filled. The goodness, Lord, that You've shown towards Spokane Baptist, towards this preacher, towards my family. God, I pray that it would be magnified today. God, I pray during this service that it would just be known and shown that it's all because of You and that none of it was because of us. Certainly, God, You use people, and even that is just a testimony of Your grace. Oh, that You, Creator God, would have any dealings with sinful man. It is, and I think, as long as I'm alive, will remain a mystery to me. That You in Your perfectness, in Your holiness, in Your greatness, would have anything to do with my life. It's just beyond me, God. And that You would have anything to do with all of our lives and in the life of this church, it's beyond us. But God, the fact remains today that You have. And I pray that You would just, Your goodness and Your grace would be magnified and illuminated in our minds today. God, may we praise You in Your house today for Your goodness. And would You fill me with Your Spirit? I need You. Fill me, God, in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Amen. A very simple message this morning, and I can smell that wonderful lasagna, and I can smell that French bread. So my time is very shortened by all that, believe you me, because you can smell it, and I can smell it. I don't have a lot of time this morning. I don't have the usual 45 minutes, okay? Trust me. I know that. I know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, okay? So, very simple message this morning. I want to show you this salutation that, Paul gives in almost all of the epistles, all of the short epistles to the churches. He gives this salutation, and I know that, studying the Bible and breaking it all apart, this is actually one of the ways you know that the Apostle Paul, without him mentioning himself, that he wrote the book, because he gives the salutation in verse 2. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the Apostle Paul's way of saying hello to his church and to the beloved churches that he started, that he prayed over, that he fasted over, that he was so much a part of as an evangelist and as a missionary, and the churches that he helped get started and sent preachers to and sent money to and all of those things. He gives them this salutation, and of course, we can kind of diminish it or minimize it to being just that, as just Paul saying hello, to his church. But there's something to that in all of the epistles, that the Apostle Paul starts off with his churches and with all the things, you know, if you think of the book of Corinthians and all the things he was going to bring before them about the fornication and about the abuse of the Lord's Supper and about the false doctrines that had crept in, and the way that he exhorts the churches, the church of Thessalonians, and the way that he, all the different things and all the different subjects really, that help us even to this day to live the Christian life and to walk with God and all those things. I think it's interesting, and I think there's a reason why the Apostle Paul starts off, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I thought I'd do a little bit of a study before we get into the message this morning. I thought I would do a little bit of a study and see how long it takes the Apostle Paul to bring up the word grace or to mention the word grace in the epistles and in his books, okay? Romans, it took him the longest. Verse 5. He mentions the word grace, okay? He brings in grace and brings up the word grace. Grace means unmerited favor. And let me tell you, there is nothing better to preach on than the doctrine of grace. Why? Because I'm a troublemaker. Troublemakers love grace, you know? And that's the age that we're in. And that's the whole theme of the New Testament. The theme of the Bible is the grace of God. And the theme of the church is the grace of God. But, okay, Romans, it takes him till verse 5. And so, he was a little bit slower there to bring up grace. But grace in verse 5. 1 Corinthians, verse 3. 2 Corinthians, verse 2. Galatians, in fact, most of these are this same exact salutation. Galatians, verse 3. Philippians, verse 2. Corinthians, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians, verse 2. 1 Timothy, verse 2. And 2 Timothy, verse 2. And Titus, verse 4. In fact, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, they got a little bit of something extra. They got not only grace and peace, but they got grace, mercy, and peace. And so, I don't know why, but the ones that were written to a person, they needed a little bit more mercy, I guess. But they got grace, mercy, and peace. Okay, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Verse 4 in Titus. And Philemon, finally, verse 3. But I believe there's something to that. That he would bring up before he talked to them about all these other issues and before he brought to them all these wonderful doctrines and taught them all these mysteries and all the wonderful truths that the Pauline epistles bring before us, he starts off by bringing the church to the wonderful truth of God's grace. And I believe it's for this very reason. God's grace is supposed to be at the forefront of our mind. God's grace is supposed to be prevalent. It's supposed to be preeminent in our lives. It's supposed to be it's supposed to be up front in our minds. And he reminds them time and time again when he writes a book, he brings up and brings the subject before any other subject. All he's done in this passage was he said hello and he said grace and peace be with you. And the peace of, and who is the grace and the peace of? It's of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's from them that we get grace and peace. And it's from God that we get grace. And what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. But grace is supposed to remain as Christians in the forefront of our mind. It's supposed to be a motivating factor in our life and in our church. The theme of the church, the theme of our lives, the theme of our thinking is supposed to be grace. And yet, in this day and age, I'm sad to say, in my own life, from time to time, it can happen in our churches. We seem to be in a state many times and in a place where we forget the grace and the goodness of God. Especially, it seems to be, in the United States of America. You see, Christian America has been shown more grace in the last 200 plus years than any other nation on the face of the planet. We have been shown a lot of grace. You think about the 50 million babies we've killed. Why didn't God just sweep our country off the map a long time ago? You think about all the wicked and terrible things that our nation has done, and yet God, and I believe largely because of the Christians that are still here, because of the churches that are still here, God has still and continues to show our country a lot of grace and a lot of mercy and continues to show us grace even here today. And so I simply want to preach this morning on the grace of God for just the next few moments. And this is the only purpose really that God brought to my heart for this message, that we would get grace and that we would be thankful and praise God, that we would get that back to the front of our minds, that we would think about it every day of our lives. You see, I truly believe that depression, all these things that come into our lives, discouragement, all the different, the battles that we have, and all those things, everything that is that is on the opposite of peace, which he says there, grace and peace, which I believe are very closely linked. In fact, I believe that you will not have peace unless you think about the grace of God. You will not have peace without grace. And the grace, and I believe the Bible puts them in order. I mean, Paul could have said, peace and the grace of God be with you. But he didn't. He said, grace and peace be with you. And I believe that that peace comes from grace. And that the reason we have peace in our lives is only the grace of God. But I believe this. If we can learn to think about and to meditate on the grace of God. You say, what do you mean by that? The goodness of God. The unmerited favor of God towards us. If we can learn to think about that and keep that at the front of our mind and meditate on it day and night, I believe that we could have peace in every situation. In any storm, the Bible calls it peace that passes all understanding. I don't know about you, but anytime I'm discouraged, anytime I'm down, anytime I'm losing the battle of the Christian life and do not know what to do, and I'm kind of in a spiritual storm, anytime I'm like that, that happens to me, it doesn't take me long to realize that I'm not thinking about the goodness and the grace of God. But in fact, I'm focused on my surroundings. In fact, I'm focused on my shortcomings. In fact, I'm focused on the sin or this or that, whatever it may be. But I know in my own life that any time I do not have peace, it's because I'm not thinking about and focused on the grace of an Almighty God. And so we need to think about these things. And I want you to do this today. I want you to, through this message, we're going to look at the rest of this passage quickly, but through this message, I would like for you to make the commitment to think about more often the goodness and the grace of God in your life. Because we have a problem in America. People are so ungrateful and unthankful. And of course, towards one another, but ultimately towards God. You see, and let's get into the text just so we can show, see what he's talking about. But I believe that that God and the Apostle Paul wanted the church to, that he put grace at the beginning of all these books so that they would think about, before they read the rest of the book, they would think about the grace of God. So that they would be in the right frame of mind for maybe some of the rebuke that takes place in the epistle, or maybe some of the exhortation, or this or that. But I believe Paul did this for a reason, that he said, grace be unto you and peace, and it's from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, so that these churches would think about that first, before he would talk to them about anything else, okay? And look at what this says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That we need to realize today that anything we have that's good, that's wonderful in our lives, and all the blessings that we have spiritually, I'm talking about salvation. Salvation, I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the wonderful hymns, the songs. I'm talking about all the blessings that we have spiritually. And let me tell you, if you'll think about it, that's what I'm preaching about this morning. If you'll think about it, you'll find that you have a lot, that God has been a lot better to you than you deserve. In fact, none of us even deserve salvation. We don't deserve any spiritual blessings. And think about with me all the times. I mean, for me, it's been my entire life. All the times I've heard a message that helped me. That's a spiritual blessing. All the times I was in a storm or in a trial and I got into the Word of God, as Brother Josh gave the testimony a moment ago of Psalms 27, where he probably couldn't have made it unless God did something for him spiritually. All the times he sat down and God helped him spiritually. Boy, I'll tell you, in my life it's been a lot. In fact, it's pretty much been a daily occurrence. I can't make it without the spiritual blessings. I'm not strong enough. I'm too weak. I'm telling you. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms that He daily loadeth us with benefits. Every day, God's good to you. And sometimes, you know, we say, well, He hadn't been good to me with this or that. But sometimes it's because if we're not careful, if we're out of the will of God, we can move ourselves out from under the umbrella of God's spiritual blessings. And that's one of the best reasons to stay right with God. And God does bless during the backslidden times as well. I'm telling you. Isn't that incredible, Brother Frank, that as you give your testimony, God blessed you even when you were backslidden? And in my own life, when I was backslidden, God still worked and still blessed? I mean, isn't God good? Why does He do that? Why is it that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? While we were His enemy, He gave His life for us. Looking ahead on that, on our backslidden state, and looking ahead on our lost state, He still said, hey, I'm going to be good to them. I'm going to bless them. That's grace, my friend. That's the goodness of God. But think about with me all the times, God has blessed you spiritually. And if you'll meditate upon that, let me tell you, you'll find that there have been many times. And if there hasn't, maybe it's because you weren't in the place where He could bless you. You weren't in the Word of God. You weren't in church. You weren't under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God or this or that. But He is constantly, if you're out of it, He's constantly trying to bring us back into that. But God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. Let me tell you, we're blessed this morning. And we need to thank God for it. According in verse 4, as He hath chosen us in Him. Have that underlined. What an amazing thing it is to just be saved and in Him, in God, in Christ. And He said that no man can pluck us out of His hands. I mean, not even you. I heard a guy, you know, that believes in this loser salvation things. He says, yeah, no man except me. I said, no, I'm sorry, my friend. I'm sorry. But God's hands are even much stronger than you are. You can't even do it. You might want to. I don't know why you would. But in Him, how wonderful it is to be in Him, in God, before the foundations of the world, He says, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now think about what I just said. Holy and without blame before Him in love. I don't know about you, but every day I sin. My very being and my makeup as a man is very unholy. So how can I be holy and blameless before Him in love? It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, when you were saved, my friend, the Bible says that Christ's righteousness, I'm going to use you here this morning, okay, was imputed to our account. You know what that means? It was put on our account. My friend, when you got saved and you gave me that testimony about when you got saved this summer, you realize, do you know Jesus is wonderful? You know Jesus was perfect? You know Jesus was holy? Well, the Bible says that righteousness, that how perfect Jesus was and how wonderful He was, the spotless Lamb of God, the Bible says that when you got saved, and you might not have known this or you might know this already, when you got saved, that righteousness was put on your account. So when God looks at you, when God looks at me, when God looks at all of us, He doesn't see that sin. He doesn't see us as the worthless, miserable sinners that we are and the sin that we commit every day. Now shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But we shouldn't try to sin. But the fact is, we are still sinners saved by grace. And even when we mess up and we get out of the will of God, God still sees the shed blood of His perfect Son, Jesus Christ. Christ's righteousness is imputed on our account. And there's nothing we can do to change that. I mean, it's good to be a Christian. It's good to be saved. Why do we forget these things? Why do we live in a depressed state and in this kind of state that life is so hard? I know there's problems. I know there's trials. But that's why we need peace. And you can't have peace without grace. I have a friend up in New Mexico, and I'm sorry if this hits so close to home, but his little 8-year-old girl got cancer about 3 years ago. And I mean, she was already a small, skinny little girl, but that cancer just eaten up her body and made her so frail. They've had to drive about 4 hours nonstop over to Albuquerque and get that treatment. And he's a pastor. And it's the trial of his life. And I just looked at him and I said, Brother Burson, I mean, it's hard to even talk to you about it. I just said, Brother Burson, how's everything going? And I hate to ask that because I know it's not going too well. And he just looked at me with a tear in his eye, and he just said, Joe, it's redefined the grace of God for me. He says, I'm seeing grace I've never seen before. And I'm thinking, but wait a minute. God hasn't healed the girl yet. But, you know, that peace comes from God's grace towards Brother Corley and towards his family and towards that little girl. But the grace of God, we're blameless before Him in love. Sure, you might not have done something today that would please God. Sure, you might not have done something yesterday or this week. But the wonderful thing is that we can confess it and get it right with Him. And He does. And the Bible says that He does. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. They're gone this morning. I don't know how God does it. You ask Him. I don't know how He does it. But God, when He looks at you, sees you as perfect, even when you're in sin. And it's not because of you. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I mean that really, and what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 6 was that it because of that grace and that love, it should make us not want to sin. Realizing all that. And I believe that's a sign of growth in a Christian's life, that they get from the point, now we have to fear, we need to have a fear and reverence towards God, but they get to the point of understanding that God, but that they do not want to sin because God's been so good, and because God's been so good to them and shown so much love for them, they fall in love with God. And they don't want to hurt the one that they love. And that's one of the best, and I believe that's where a Christian should get to, the place where they no longer sin or to do their best not to sin because God's been so good and they love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And nevertheless, we're without blame before Him in love. Isn't that incredible? That God did that for you, that God did that for me. Look at this in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of His children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I was thinking about this, how wonderful it is just to be in God's will. And right now, you know that you're in the Lord's will. You sure you might be running for Him or this or that, but God wants you here this morning. And God wants me here this morning. And you're still on this earth because God has a will and a purpose for your life. I believe that the second He doesn't have a will for me or something He wants me to do, He'll take me home. And in Romans says that it's good and acceptable and perfect. How wonderful it is that God not only saves us, blesses us with all spiritual blessings, but when we're blameless before Him, He saves us, then He gives us a job to do. He gives us a will. He has a will for our lives. He has a will for your life this morning. One of the funny things is, I've preached about this, I think, here before, but God's will is always linked to a local New Testament church. And you're in here for a reason. God has something He wants you to do here at Spokane Baptist Church. And that's all, and it's out of the good pleasure of His will. In verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. His grace is glorious. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Hey, I don't care what your background is this morning. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what is happening in your life. You're accepted in the Beloved this morning. How wonderful is that? You're accepted in God this morning. You're accepted in the Beloved. You know what they say the number one cause of teen suicide is today? It used to be, I was reading a report, it used to be, you know, in the 50s and 60s that a traumatic experience would come and the young person would get so depressed that they would end their life. But you know what they say it is today? The number one cause of teen suicide is that the teen does not feel accepted by anyone. But I want to tell you this morning, you're accepted. Not because you're a great person, not because I'm a great person, but because of the grace of God. You're accepted into the Beloved. How wonderful it is to have a family, a local assembly here in Spokane Baptist Church that you're accepted into. Now, you know that we're sinners, and when we get together every once in a while, there has to be a little reproving, a little rebuking, a little growing in grace and in the Lord and all that. But you know, I'm telling you, you're accepted here at Spokane Baptist Church. We're accepted. You're accepted into the Beloved. Only God can do that. Let's go on. In whom? We have redemption through His blood. Redeemed this morning. You're redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't God good? I mean, He's just good. No one else can take credit for this. Not even the Apostle Paul. He wrote this, but it was only because of the grace of God that he wrote it. And it was through the Holy Spirit. Look at this. The forgiveness of sin. I don't know about you, but from time to time I'll just stop and think of my sins. Because, you know, God can forget our sins, but we can't. Maybe we will when we are transformed. I'm hoping we will. I think we will be. I think we'll just forget every evil thing that ever happened in this life. But when I think back on my sin, I think back times when I failed God, it just is overwhelming to think that it's all forgiven. You know, it's all been forgiven. God doesn't even see him. And then I want to show you this tonight, ending, according to the riches of his grace. How's God going to do all this? How's he going to continue to forgive you? How does he keep us accepted in the beloved? How does he keep blessing us with all spiritual blessings? How does he keep us saved? How does he keep our sins forgiven? And how does he do all these things? He does them through and according to the riches of his grace. And let me tell you, my friend, God has a lot of grace. He's rich in grace. He's never going to run out. God's grace is as infinite as God himself. And so, although we fail in so many times, although we've slipped up so many times, even this morning, he hasn't run out of grace. I was listening to an old message not long ago by John R. Rice, and he said this to a lady that was struggling with the fact. She said, "My husband doesn't believe that you can be saved by Jesus alone, but that you have to do good works to keep your salvation." And she said, "My husband's backslidden right now. So does that mean he's still saved?" And he says, "Well, it does depend on how he was saved." She said, "What do you mean?" He said, Was he saved by his good works and the things, you know, the things that he did and all of that?" And she said, "Well, heavens, no, he's backslidden." He said, "That's right. And so if you're saved by your good works and the good you can do, as soon as you buckle or mess up, your salvation's gone. If that was the system in place today, that's the way it would be. And, you know, how do you get that back once it's gone?" But he said, "Or was he saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? And was he saved by Jesus' good works and by the blood of Jesus Christ?" And he said, "You see, because if you're saved by Jesus Christ, as soon as Jesus Christ buckles, your salvation's done." And the woman said, "But Jesus isn't going to ever buckle." And he said, "Exactly." You know, today we're saved, we're kept by all this, by the riches of his grace. And let me tell you, he has a lot. More than you and I can even wrap our little minds around. He has a lot of grace. And let me tell you today, my friend, I know there's a lot of hurt in here. I know there's a lot of illness. I know there is a lot of... And beyond that, you know, those are the things we can see. But we can't see the depression. We can't see the discouragement. We can't see the spiritual warfare. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. All that we can't see this morning. And I heard an old preacher say that, yeah, the problem is we wrestle not. And that's a good point too. There isn't anybody wrestling today. But there's a lot we can't see. And I just want to let you know today that although I can't see that, although pastor can't see that, and of course, through counseling and things, those things can be helped. Although, you know, there are struggles here we can't see, I just want to let you know that God's grace is good for that too. And that God's grace can help that too. And I want you to know that God's grace can bring peace to that situation as well. Before I close, there's something I started doing. I was convicted of this about 2 months ago. I started a God's Been Good journal. You know how a journal is supposed to be? You write down everything. Well, I decided to just carve out the things I didn't want to remember and the experiences I didn't want to remember. And I decided to just start journaling and logging every day the way God's been good to me. It's transforming my life. If we would take every day every morning, in the afternoon, and before we go to bed, and take some time just to count our blessings, it would change a lot of things. It's hard to say, I'm sorry, I know we try, but it's hard to stay discouraged in any situation when you think about the goodness of God. And you really meditate on it. And what I've been doing lately is writing those things down and then just taking some time to think about it. And it doesn't take long before I just have to fall on my face and say, God, why'd you do all that for me? Why have you been so good to me? Let me tell you this morning, listen, Christian, God's been good to you. We forget. I don't know how we do it, but we forget. And we have to be reminded of it on a daily basis. And listen, we need to thank Him on a daily basis. It was important to in these epistles for the grace of God to be at the forefront of the book and of their mind. Before all these other subjects were covered, before the revival this week, we need to go forward this week realizing the grace of God and realizing that He's been good to us. We need to thank Him and praise Him. I know it's very simple, but would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? We'll give a time of invitation. You say, what do I confess? What do I come and pray? Would you start this morning at the altar, there in your seat, bowing before God and thanking Him for all the spiritual blessings, thanking Him for all the things. You know, if we really thought about it, we could spend all day today testifying and thanking God for His goodness. Would you do that this morning as we have an invitation? The altar's open. You can turn around where you're at and pray. Go ahead right now. The music will begin momentarily. Would you have enough courage to come out to the front and bow and thank God up here publicly? Bow before Him. The altar's open. That's it. Come on.